Healthcare reform moves on.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Glad you're with us for the morning open. A look at the broader economy as trading gets started for the day. We're about 20 minutes in. Where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P down 0.5%. The NASDAQ about 0.2%. The Dow off about 34 points at 10,252. European shares are lower now as well, under 0.25%. Investors doing a lot of dumping of Greek bank shares in the wake of Greece's mounting debt. Asian markets were mostly off today as well. There's been a compromise among Senate Democrats who say they're getting closer to pushing a health care proposal through. The latest deal drops a government-run insurance option, and instead it may offer nonprofit health plans, the same type lawmakers have in Congress. It would also allow people 55 and over to join Medicare. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago this morning. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
So this is the government trying to negotiate with private insurers. It's a significant development in the healthcare debate. Your reaction?
Well, it is a significant move away from the completely government-sponsored program that we saw in the past, and the idea is that it will introduce competition, particularly in those areas and those states that have very few healthcare providers, and hopefully in those areas bid down the cost. This is a difficult road, though, because oftentimes people who don't have healthcare need it the most, which means there's sometimes the highest cost to be insured. And so it's unclear, you know, how many people will actually take advantage of this, how cheap it will actually get, and bid down the cost of health care. At the same time, we're expanding the coverage, and that, of course, increases the cost to the U.S. government.
Yeah, you talk about the cost and the affordability factor. What about the rate of inflation? I mean, does this help in that regard as well, do you think?
Well, you know, it's unclear. That's what the problem is the competition between covering more people and trying to do it more efficiently. Those two things come sort of head on with each other. And in an environment where so many people are out without health care at the moment, the desire is to cover more people before you actually get to the efficiencies to bring down the rate of increase in health care inflation. And so I fear that initially we'll all be paying more. And that's a difficult thing to be doing when we already have such large deficits. It's not that the problem isn't enormous. It is. But these are difficult decisions to make.
Well, some other news coming out of Washington as well. The Obama administration has officially moved to extend the $700 billion Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP. We're joined by Ashley Milne-Tite with us from the Marketplace New York City Bureau. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
So remind us the original purpose of TARP.
Well, TARP was originally set up to help out the banks. That $700 billion was meant to go to bolstering financial institutions that hit trouble during the financial crisis. It actually ended up helping some additional companies as well. So it was meant to expire at the end of this year, meaning in this case that it wouldn't pay any new money out. So, you know, even if it had money left over, money it hadn't yet lent, it was supposed to not lend any more money out after December 31st. So now it looks like TARP will continue to lend money out through, you know, October of next year.
And what do they intend to do with that money?
Well, I mean, I think the administration wants the freedom to be able to lend the money however it sees fit. So wherever they think it'll do the most good. I spoke to Chris Lowe about this a bit earlier. He's chief economist with FTN Financial. And he gave me an example of one way some of the leftover TARP funds might be used.
Congressman Barney Frank, who's at the House Banking Committee, introduced legislation yesterday saying that he'd like to use TARP to help troubled homeowners extend their mortgages.
Now, the administration does have to get congressional approval to parcel out the TARP money the way it wants. And there's already been a bit of an outcry in some quarters over the idea that these funds should be used for anything other than reducing the federal deficit.
Let's bring back Diane Swonk for her reaction to extending the TARP. I mean, Diane, what do you think about that?
Well, the whole purpose initially, as we pointed out, was the TARP was to help, actually not just financial institutions, to help financial market stability. The Fed inserted a clause 2 days after, or one day after they initially launched the first three-page edition of the TARP for $700 billion. And they actually inserted a clause allowing them to do what they later did, was use the TARP to recapitalize banks and non-financial institutions like AIG. That said, and GMAC and GM and Chrysler, I mean, the list went on. The whole intent, though, was that Congress was so angry at the Treasury for having a blank check. And now Congress wants to get access to that blank check. And I think there really is, if they want to pass new legislation, that's fine. But I don't think the initial initial intent of this legislation was not to be recycled, and it's one thing to expand the TARP or to use what they've got in the time they've got left. It's another thing to rewrite the law entirely, and that's what we're really talking about doing. And I think that we've got some benefits to actually the fact that we didn't have to use as much as we thought, and mm-hmm. let's use that to pay down the deficit.
Well, we're going to have to stop it there. Diane Swank from Mesro Financial in Chicago, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Ashley Milne-Tight joining us from the Marketplace New York Bureau. Many thanks to you as well. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, December 9th, 2009 at marketplace.org. The temperature's been rising at the Climate Change Summit in Copenhagen. Members of the developing world are reacting angrily to some Western plans for dealing with global warming. From the summit in Copenhagen, Stephen Beard reports.
African environmental activists staged a protest inside the summit headquarters last night. The target of their anger is a draft plan from the Danish government for tackling climate change. The protesters said it would favour the developed world. Rich countries would be permitted to emit more greenhouse gases than developing nations. The protesters also attacked as inadequate the American plan for a $10 billion a year fund to help poor countries adapt to climate change. Augustin Nyamchi is from Cameroon in West Africa.
We're not asking for any aid. We're not begging. You have to pay for what has been damaged because we are suffering.
Over the next few days, some of the world's poorest countries will present their plans for tackling climate change. The rift between the developed and the developing worlds is thought likely to grow wider. In Copenhagen, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The House today starts debate on a bill that would overhaul the financial industry. It could pass by later this week, and it turns out Congress's approach is tougher than many had expected. From Washington, Brett Neely reports.
The bill would make the financial industry pay billions into a special bailout fund. And that's not all. It would create a new agency to protect consumers from questionable financial practices. Lauren Wiener is with the coalition Americans for Financial Reform. She says the new agency is
a wonderful start towards making sure that the abusive practices that happened in the past won't happen again to consumers.
She says public outrage over the giant federal bank bailout has spurred the House on. Its legislation also lets states set even stricter rules. Business lobbyists are worried about the number of state and federal regulators in the picture. David Hirschman is with the Chamber of Commerce.
We think consumers need regulators that are talking to each other, not simply more regulators.
And he says the new law will make it harder for businesses to get loans and won't help consumers. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
America Online officially splits from Time Warner today. The online company is trying to reinvent itself, offering new services, even a new logo. For a lot of people, AOL was an introduction to email, but a lot's changed. And they're hoping a new image helps them to move the product forward. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
A few months ago, I started getting emails from friends and colleagues saying they were switching their email from Yahoo or Hotmail to Gmail. That's Google. I have a Yahoo address. Do they know something I don't? Is my email sending its own message about me? Duke University marketing professor Ken Wilber says yes.
It's like your haircut or the designer of the shirt that you're wearing. It's something that people notice, and it's part of the package.
I needed to know more, so I turned to Delassie Michalis. He's Marketplace's web developer, and he thinks about these kinds of things.
As soon as somebody says that they're, you know, so-and-so at earthlink.net or hotmail.com, really, it's an oh my God moment. Do you know what the internet is? Yahoo is like, okay. And then if you're Gmail, you're like, I can take you seriously.
What about AOL?
You said AOL. Wow. Is it still around? I mean, I can't believe it's still around.
Had my AOL email account for a little over 15 years.
Bert Flickinger is the managing director of the Strategic Resource Group. He tells retailers how to market things to young shoppers. What do clients say when he gives them his email?
When I give them an AOL email address, they say, I can't believe you're still on AOL. And I say, well, it's simple. I have one of the original addresses with no numbers, so it's easier for you to type.
There are 50 million Flickingers out there. Hotmail has 200 million users, Yahoo 260 million. Gmail is gaining on them, but 500 million people can't be uncool. Still, it's not about numbers, says Duke University's Ken Wilber. He says an email address is part of your brand, and if you're looking for a job or networking, the wrong address can make you look out of touch.
I really like to think about it as sort of the cardstock that you print your business cards on. You know, if you are out there looking for a job, then it certainly is something you want to think about in terms of what kind of image you're projecting.
So if you think your email address needs to send a new message, might be time to tell the old one
goodbye.
In Los Angeles at gmail.com, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Ford is trying to figure out what to do with Volvo. The Chinese carmaker Geely seems interested. And what's the appeal of the Swedish brand? We asked Marketplace's Elisa Roth to take a look.
The lead bid is from Geely, but a consortium of American investors is interested. And this week, a Swedish consortium said it is too. John Cassessa is an auto analyst in New York, and he says the big draw is the Volvo brand itself.
It's a recognized global brand name. It's an upscale brand name, and it absolutely owns a critical positioning in the auto industry. That's safety.
Geely says it's already lined up funding, and the company's reportedly willing to pay around $2 billion for Volvo. Eric Merkel's an auto industry analyst in Michigan, and he says for Geely, this is about more than just a name.
It would give them access to other markets outside of China, and it would also allow them to, say, fast-track their safety and quality of their vehicles back home in China.
China is the world's biggest market for cars, and it's kept growing, even as people stop buying cars elsewhere. Ford is selling Volvo along with companies like Land Rover and Jaguar, so it can concentrate on its own brand. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.